The following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting. Tonight, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel again, please. This time in chapter 40 as we speed through the book, Ezekiel 40. Now, this is a very difficult section of Scripture because it describes something by dimensions and layout which is hard to imagine. So what I've done is I have replicated a map here. I have replicated a kind of a mapping or a layout of the temple that is described in Ezekiel 40. And for those of you that are on the phone, you won't be able to see this that I've printed out. However, if you do have access to the church Facebook page or to the church website and my blog, I have put a link to this very same diagram there for you to click on, so that you can see it as well. So if you go to my blog on the website, just go to fbcaa.org and click in the menu where it says Bible on the right-hand side and drop down to Pastor's Blog. The first entry there in the blog will be titled The Millennial Temple. Of course, if you're listening to the recording of this later, you're going to have to hunt down through there to find the Millennial Temple blog entry or search for it on our home front of our homepage. But there'll be a short article there with just a link to a PDF file, and the Facebook page has a link to that very same blog post. So it'll take you to a PDF file, and if you go to page 3 on that PDF file, I've selected the third of the three layouts to just have before us as we look at this. And so let's have that before us, and I'll begin reading in chapter 40. And really our goal is just to kind of familiarize ourselves with this because it may not be all that familiar to us. So I'll begin by reading in chapter 40. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, in the 10th a day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it toward the south was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes, and hear with your ears, and fix your mind on everything I show you, for you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Now, there was a wall around the outside of the temple, it says, of the temple. Remember, he initially saw something that looked like the structure of a city. And here he's describing in more detail, zooming into this temple complex or facility. In the man's hand was a measuring rod, 6 cubits long, each being a cubit and a handbreadth, and he measured the width of the wall structure, 1 rod, and the height, 1 rod. Okay, 1 rod, 6 cubits, about 10 feet. So 10 feet high, 10 feet wide or thick. Then he went to the gateway, which faced east. And he went up its stairs and measured the threshold of the gateway, which was 1 rod wide, and the other threshold was 1 rod wide as well. On your diagram, if you're looking at that, it's on the right-hand side of the page. not the far right-hand side, but close to the right-hand side, the outer court of the eastern gateway is the labeling there. Each gate chamber was 1 rod long and 1 rod wide. Between the gate chambers was a space of 5 cubits, and the threshold of the gateway by the vestibule of the inside gate was 1 rod. He also measured the vestibule of the inside gate 1 rod. Then he measured the vestibule of the gateway 8 cubits and the gate posts 2 cubits. The vestibule of the gate was on the inside. So now we're looking at a kind of zoomed in view of that gateway, which I don't have printed for you. In the eastern gateway, there were 3 gate chambers on one side and 3 on the other. The 3 were all the same size. Also, the gate posts were of the same size on this side and on that side. He measured the width of the entrance to the gateway 10 cubits and the length of the gate 13 cubits. There was a space in front of the gate chambers, 1 cubit on this side and 1 cubit on that side. The gate chambers were 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. Then he measured the gateway from the roof of 1 gate chamber to the roof of the other. The width was 25 cubits as door faces door. He measured the gate posts 60 cubits high, and the court all around the gateway extended to the gate post. From the front of the entrance gate to the front of the vestibule of the inner gate was 50 cubits. There were beveled window frames in the gate chambers and in their intervening archways in the inside of the gateway all around, and likewise in the vestibules. There were windows all around on the inside, and on each gate post were palm trees. Then the outer court. The outer court is labeled there towards the bottom of the diagram inside the wall. You see outer court, kind of a raised pavement there, area. Then he brought me into the outer court, and there were chambers and a pavement made all around the court. 30 chambers faced the pavement. The pavement was by the side of the gateways corresponding to the length of the gateways. This was the lower pavement. Then he measured the width from the front of the lower gateway to the front of the inner court exterior, 100 cubits toward the east and the north. Now it is getting a little confusing here, but diagrams that you see in the PDF file that I have linked look quite similar to what is listed here. It's quite interesting, actually, how similar they are, the different artist renditions of it. They all have these taller gateways surrounding the temple complex and so on, and then a number of smaller buildings that are surrounding the central temple in this. But we go then to the northern gateway. On the outer court also is a gateway facing north. Okay, and that is the gateway at the top of your diagram. And he measured its length and width, its gate chambers, 3 on this side and 3 on that side, its gate posts and its archways. Had the same measurements as the first gate. Its length was 50 cubits and its width 25 cubits. Okay, so let me pause there at verse 21 and just point out to you that in your diagram also, you see that in the lower right-hand corner, there is a scale to give you an idea of the size of an American football field, and it's not even quite halfway across the width of this temple complex. And how many would fit in there? Maybe a dozen football fields or more would fit inside of that square box that represents the temple precinct. So this is quite a large area that we're talking about. Verse 22. Its windows and those of its archways and also its palm trees had the same measurements as the gateway facing east. It was ascended by 7 steps, and its archway was in front of it. A gate of the inner court was opposite the northern gateway, just as the eastern gateway, and he measured from gateway to gateway 100 cubits. After that, he brought me toward the south. Okay, so we traverse across your page to the left-hand side of the page to that gateway, closest to us, if you will, by perspective drawing anyway. And there a gateway was facing south, and he measured its gateposts and archways according to the same measurements. There were windows in it, and in its archways all around, like those windows, its length was 50 cubits and its width 25 cubits. 7 steps led up to it, and its archway was in front of them, and it had palm trees on its gateposts, one on this side and one on that side. There was also a gateway on the inner court facing south, and he measured from gateway to gateway toward the south, again 100 cubits. Okay. Now, we don't see mentioned a western gateway. Evidently, there isn't one. There's a building there at the western end, which is toward the top of your page, on the left top of that diagram. So we don't have a gateway there like the others. Then he brought me to the inner court through the southern gateway. He measured the southern gateway according to those same measurements. Also, its gate chambers, its gate posts, its archways were according to those same measurements. There were windows in it, and its archways all around. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. There were archways all around, 25 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. So here we are in the inner court, eastern, southern, and northern gateways as well. Verse 31, its archways faced the outer court. Palm trees were in its gateposts, and going up to it were 8 steps now instead of the 7 before. And he brought me into the inner court facing east. He measured the gateway according to the same measurements. Its gate chambers, gate posts, archways were according to these same measurements, and there were windows in it, and its archways all around. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Okay, same general dimensions again. Its archways faced the outer court, and palm trees were on its gate posts on the side and on that side, and going up to it were 8 steps. Then he brought me to the north gateway and measured it according to these same measurements. And also its gate chambers, its gate posts, and its archways. It had windows all around. Its length was 50 cubits, and its width 25 cubits. Its gate posts faced the outer court. Palm trees were on its gate posts on this side and on that side, and going up to it were 8 steps. So evidently we're moving upward here, so this is not a flat topography, but going up 7 and then 8 steps would indicate that you're moving up at least a story in height. 10 or more feet in elevation. Okay, that was 37, 38. There was a chamber and its entrance by the gateposts of the gateway where they washed the burnt offering. In the vestibule of the gateway were 2 tables on this side and 2 tables on that in which to slay the burnt offering and sin offering and the trespass offering. At the outer side of the vestibule, as one goes up to the entrance of the northern gateway, were 2 tables. And on the other side of the vestibule of the gateway were 2 tables. 4 tables were on this side and 4 tables on that side by the side of the gateway, 8 tables on which they slaughtered the sacrifices. There were also 4 tables of hewn stone for the burnt offering, 1 cubit and a half long, 1 cubit and a half wide, and 1 cubit high. On these lay the instruments on which they slaughtered the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Inside were hooks, a handbreadth wide, fastened all around, and the flesh of the sacrifices was on the tables. Obviously, we're talking about animal sacrifices in plenty here. Verse 44, outside the inner gate were chambers for the singers of the inner court, one facing south at the side of the northern gateway and the other facing north at the side of the southern gateway. Then he said to me, this chamber which faces south is for the priests who have charge of the temple. The chamber which faces north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok and from the sons of Levi who come near the Lord to minister to him. And then finally, in chapter 40, and he measured the court 100 cubits long and 100 cubits wide, 4 square. The altar was in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the vestibule of the temple and measured the doorposts of the vestibule, 5 cubits on this side and 5 cubits on that side. And the width of the gateway was 3 cubits on this side and 3 cubits on that side. The length of the vestibule was 20 cubits and the width 11 cubits. And by the steps which led up to it, there were pillars by the doorposts, one on this side and the other on that side. All right. We are now exhausted by reading all of those details in chapter 40, but hopefully the diagram has made it somewhat more understandable for you as we've moved from the east and the north and the south inward through the outer court and into the inner three gateways, and then to the altar and that whole vestibule kind of area in front of the temple, or what is called the sanctuary itself. The diagram there has it as temple. So what can I say about all of this? Well, one thing I want to say is that Ezekiel is told to record all this down very carefully, and so that he could tell it to the people of Israel. And so we have it, and that's what we're doing, is rehearsing that this evening together. We'll see a little bit later why this is, but I can give you a couple of thoughts about it right now. First of all, Ezekiel is giving this in a context which is, according to our layout of the book, in the far future. I think the layout of Ezekiel makes it clear that we're talking about something that is going to be fulfilled in the future. Remember, chapters 1 to 24, historical judgment. Chapter 25 to 32 are also historical judgment of the nations, Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia, all those. And then in chapter 33 is a call to repentance. From chapter 35, well, 35 is a little different. It's near fulfillment against Mount Edom, or Mount Seir in Edom. But beginning certainly in chapter 36, from there through the rest of the book is a section of restoration, which has no historical counterpart or no fulfillment in history. So it must be speaking about a fulfillment in the future, and we understand it to be in the far future based on the context of the New Covenant texts in 36 and 37 and the blessings on Israel that are listed throughout the section. The judgment in the far future of Gog in May, against Gog and Magog, and all of that. So that's a very strong argument that this is actually something that he is seeing in a visionary form, which is going to be a fulfillment in the future in the millennial period, is how we have understood this, the best place where it fits, the only place where it fits in biblical chronology. The other thing I would say is that we do take this text to be a passage that refers to something that is going to be. It's not a symbol. It is a reflection of a vision that Ezekiel had at the hand of God, and it will be literally fulfilled. It will be told to the people of Israel for a reason, so that they have a model of something that is going to come in the future. And may I say it this way, a model of something to look forward to. Why look forward to it? Well, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, look at verse number 1 again. Verse number 1, I didn't mention the timeline here when we read it. I just read through it, but it says, in the 25th year of the captivity. Now, this is counting from 597, which is a baseline date that we've seen a number of other times in the book of Ezekiel. And it brings us down to 573 or 572 BC, toward the end of Ezekiel's ministry. And what he's saying is that it's 14 years after the city was captured, on the very same day that the city was captured. So this is like the anniversary of the capture of the city of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonian king in 587 BC, when the temple was destroyed. So if Ezekiel is carried in a vision to see Jerusalem itself, he would see no temple there, because the temple has been destroyed and it has not been rebuilt in the short amount of time that has passed. So he's seeing something in a vision which is reflective of a promise that God is making about something that will occur in the future. And this is designed to be an encouragement to the people of Israel. they are in a sad and sorry state where their temple has been destroyed, their city's been overrun, all that's left there in Jerusalem is poor people. If you read in Jeremiah, for example, after Babylon came, Zedekiah was blinded and taken back, and Gedaliah was put in place, and then he was killed, and then the rebels amongst the Israelites took everybody down to Egypt, including Jeremiah, and Jeremiah prophesied they shouldn't do that, and Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar ended up coming down to defeat Pharaoh and also kill some more of the Jews because they disobeyed God by going down to Egypt instead of staying in Israel like they were told. It's just a mess. The whole thing is a disaster. And so the people of Israel receive a comforting word from the hand of God that they will have once again a glorious temple. A temple which is beyond any other that they could ever have imagined. It wasn't the second temple, or the post-exile temple. It wasn't Herod's temple. It wasn't the original temple complex. It's much bigger, much more ornate than that, and it would accommodate a much larger system of worship, as we'll see later in chapter 41 and following. So, it's literally going to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled in the future. Those were our first 2 points. Our third point was that this has a purpose for the people of Israel to encourage them that something is going to come from the hand of God, whereas before judgment came from his hand, now blessing would come from it, and they would have a place once again to worship, which place they still do not even have yet today. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop there because that's over 20 minutes of architectural detail. And let that sink in. Take a look at that picture and enjoy that summary of what we've read. And we'll pick up again the next time at the dimensions of the sanctuary in chapter 41 and some of the other details. I'll try to figure out a way to summarize these in a better way for you so that it's easy to understand. So we'll pause there with that and ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll sign off and be on our way this evening, okay? Heavenly Father, we ask that if you would be pleased to help these things be cemented in our minds, that we would not be hesitant or fearful or uncertain about these things, but that we would commit them to mind and be ready to say, yes, we believe that this is a literal account of what is going to happen. It's not a symbolic thing that expresses a truth other than what is said here. We have expressed the meaning of it already in the encouragement to the nation of Israel and the future literal fulfillment. And I pray that you'd help us to hold to those truths and not shy away from them as if there are some kind of allegorical detail in all of these measurements and structure of this temple, rather that it will in fact occur and there will be worship there, worship of the Most High God, to whom we pray just now. We pray for safe journey home. We pray for a blessing tomorrow. Give us guidance and wisdom. May we rest well in the meanwhile tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.